Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. A full show leading up to this point. We spoke with Bruce Lavelle. Wonderful to speak with him at 12:25. Jory Murdoch at 1:05. Jim Carafano at 1:25. And now we got the whole crew back in here. So Ryan and Brad and myself for the 2 o'clock hour. Our YouTube live chat poll for today is Donald Trump a Christian? You have three opportunities to respond to this. Yes, no, or it doesn't matter. And if you come to the Annie Fry YouTube channel, you'll see we're broadcasting live there, just like we are 97.1 FM Talk, and streaming live on the Odyssey app, AUDACY, all the time. You can follow, take us with you with perfectly crystal clear signal everywhere you go in the world. That's pretty cool. But we're broadcasting live. You can watch us, too, on the Annie Fry YouTube channel. And in the live chat portion, vote and tell us what you think. Let's see here. Jack says Trump went. Oh, wait, this is something I have to get used to here. Let's see. Pon says it doesn't matter if he identifies as a Christian. I guess it depends on your definition of a Christian. Does he treat people decently and with respect? Yes. Is he a sinner? Yes. Aren't we all? The more I thought about our conversation yesterday, the more I really keyed in on Charlie Kirk's comment about the idea of being able to vote for Donald Trump if you're a Christian and you're analyzing whether or not you will be able to muster the vote for Donald Trump, you're really putting yourself in a position to compare the kind of Christian that Donald Trump is to the kind of Christian that you might be. I wonder, do we apply that type of standard to our doctors when their doctors are providing us care? If you are in a situation where you're sending your children or grandchildren to public school, do you apply that same type of standard to the grown people who are educating your kids about how Christian they are and whether or not you're willing to support them? Because I can think of people who are educators who are not Christian people, but they're very good people in the worldly sense. We can step out of the worldly sense and have a theological conversation about religion and salvation and all that. A very important conversation to have. But if you're somebody who cannot vote for Donald Trump because he's not the right kind of Christian for you, are you taking your children or grandchildren out of a classroom if you know that that individual is not the type of Christian that you want them to be? In that instance, you have a much more personal relationship between an individual who you're putting your child in the charge of. Do we have that same kind of rubric for how we choose to allow people to influence what happens in our lives? And I look at Donald Trump and I think the reason why I ask this question, is Donald Trump a Christian? Yes, no, or it doesn't matter, is because I believe that in this instance of choosing an elected official to run government, which is talked about. Government is talked about in the Bible quite a bit. Earthly leadership is something that is discussed in scripture with regularity and challenges of it and influence of it. I'm thinking about this is I think the abortion issue is where the Christian conflict happens the most. People don't like the way Donald Trump is speaking about abortion because he's not saying he's for it or against it. He says two things every time. Everybody wanted it to go back to the states, which inherently isn't completely accurate of a statement. The concern with abortion is not who controls the law on it. The concern with abortion is it baby murder or is it strictly the woman's right to control what happens to her body? That's the dilemma that needs to be decided on the abortion issue. You have to determine what it is before you can determine what to do with what it is. So the first thing he says is that it goes back to the states, and that's what everybody wanted. I don't think that that's a right statement. I think it's probably a smart political statement, but I don't believe that in my very pro-life stance. I don't think that that's accurate, and I also don't think it's been good for saving the lives of babies. And the second thing he says is that he always says, like Ronald Reagan, believes in the exceptions. These are the options that are in front of us. The options that are in front of us are Kamala Harris, who won't push back on what was determined in Minnesota by choosing Tim Walz and them not reacting to the changes they've made to abortion access in Minnesota. There are babies that have been born alive in one of the most grotesque terms I can think of, which is failed abortions. There have been babies that have born alive that have not received medical care that they needed outside of the womb. Kamala Harris isn't outspoken on having a problem with that. You want to talk about being extreme. The Democrat Party is extreme on abortion in ways that I haven't even come up with being in the realm of possibility yet. Donald Trump says that he believes in the exceptions. When he says that he believes in the exceptions, he's talking about life of the mother. I've never known a single instance where a baby had to die in order to save the life of the mother, to piece apart a fetus from a womb, to take them out, to suck their brains out, to pull apart their body from the womb, that is a necessity to save the life of a mother. Induced labor, induced C-section where you have to remove the baby. There's a situation there where that might happen and the baby's life doesn't live. Life of the mother, rape and incest, those are the exceptions that Donald Trump subscribes to, and he always attributes Ronald Reagan to those exceptions. Donald Trump has not made a statement on abortion. Donald Trump has not said abortion is wrong. Donald Trump is making a political calculation in how he speaks on this issue so that he can become the president of the United States. I believe that there are people who represent us in government, who represent the people who have sent them to serve in that capacity, where they may have especially religious beliefs, but moral beliefs that aren't 100% in line with what they believe that they can effectively accomplish when they reach the office that they are elected to. I really question any individual out there right now who believes that Donald Trump hasn't gone far enough on the abortion issue in what he says in a campaign. Look back at what this man has done on the issue. There is only so much that he can do in government. And if you look at what's going to happen in Missouri, I'm telling you right now, I think this amendment is going to pass. I'm going to fall on my hands and knees and thank God if it doesn't. But this is the way these things are tracking. Our culture is so rotten, is so depraved. We don't value things like life culturally. You cannot win a political battle on a rotting culture. And if you're sitting here in your righteousness and in your pride over not being able to muster a vote for Donald Trump for president, because of this particular issue, I really find that in my mind to be, as Brad said yesterday, a sin of pride. You've calculated that you are too good as an individual to look at what is in front of you and say, this is what has to be done for the most good to come about. If you're actually sitting there thinking to yourself right now that you, as a Christian individual, are too good of a Christian or too strong of a Christian to do what it takes to stop Kamala Harris from becoming the president of the United States, then pride is your problem. Should you sit righteously in your own home and think about how good you feel that you didn't contribute to Donald Trump becoming president? You absolutely have contributed to Kamala Harris becoming president. There's no way around that. You have these decisions, and I've talked about this before. I think I've talked about this with you guys on the show. I am flooded with the thoughts of King Solomon in the Bible, who was presented with a baby by two women. Now, King Solomon, you might know the Bible, you might be familiar with the Bible, but you might culturally understand that King Solomon was known for his wisdom. King Solomon is approached by two women, both claiming to be the mother of a baby. And every time I hear about this issue, this abortion issue, and what government is supposed to do you know what King Solomon said? In order to save the baby's life, do you know what King Solomon told those women to do? He told them to cut the baby in half. The order from the person who was in charge of the land said, cut the baby in half. And what did the woman who was the real mother do? Say, absolutely not, give that baby to that other woman. Spare that baby's life. The woman who wasn't the mother said, fine, that's the only way to make it fair. When you sit this election out and you choose not to vote for Donald Trump because of some moral high ground that you think you have over Donald Trump, when, as a Christian, you should fully understand the line that divides us from the perfect goes above all of our heads. We are all on the same side of that line. When you choose to sit that out, in my opinion, you're the mother saying, fine, cut the baby in half. Because that's literally what's going to happen if Kamala Harris becomes the president of the United States. The amount of babies that will die on Kamala Harris's watch is magnificently more in the Democrats' eyes, then should Donald Trump become the president of the United States? Do you sacrifice with yourself and say, give the baby to them? Let the baby live. Do you give of yourself if you love that child? Because that is what the options that are in front of you, that is what is presented with us. It was wise then. It's wise now. It's not perfect. It's not a perfect solution. And in Solomon's good wisdom that he had in that moment, the baby's life was saved and King Solomon knew who the real mother was. We have no time for selfish righteousness. And this issue, wouldn't you say that the whole, like, Donald Trump, is he a Christian? How can he be a Christian and not be more forceful on the pro-life issue? I mean, he has shown us that he has advocated for pro-life causes. He's done that before. It's on his resume. I don't think that he's going to govern as the president in the next 4 years as pro-life as I would want him to be, but I sure as heck know how Kamala Harris is going to do it. If you sit this one out because your moral high ground can't reach the circle to fill in for Donald Trump's vote, you're just telling him to cut the baby in half.
I totally understand criticisms of Trump and really the Republican side of the aisle right now not being as on offense with pro-life issues and be playing only defense. I understand that. I actually really, really understand when people who are pro-life say we need to be more bold in being pro-life and making the pro-life case. Now, we're on a radio show. I think, Annie, you make a very, very good case for the pro-life side. But a lot of politicians, I think people are criticizing politicians for not publicly making the pro-life case enough. However, what you're saying is, remember, we have a binary choice here. Yes, you could vote for Jill Stein. Yes, you could vote for all these. We have a two-party system. Which one do you think is going to be better for the pro-life movement? That is cut and dry to me. I don't think there really can be an argument against which side's going to be better for the pro-life movement.
Annie, listening to what you're saying, you nailed it. It's cultural rot. This isn't abortion isn't a legal issue. It's not. It's a cultural issue. It's a heart issue. The thought that, like, I believe that that's a person from the moment of conception. And the thought that a mother...
It's a soul.
That a mother, a mom, you know, would say, you know what? For X, Y, and Z reasons, I want to eliminate that soul. I want to kill that person. Whatever your reasons are.
I'll add into that that they're being led to believe that it isn't.
Right.
They're being lied to. 10 years later, they want a child, they get pregnant, they go into an ultrasound, and they see what they want, what they, in that moment in time and comfort of that time, choose to keep. They know what they chose not to keep.
Yeah, exactly. And so that, to me, tells me that the battle has to shift on this topic. It has to shift out of the legal realm, out of the political realm, into the cultural realm. We say it all the time, you know, make abortion unthinkable. Change the hearts and minds of people, and it won't matter how legal Amendment 3 makes it. People won't do it. Change the hearts and minds of people, and they won't fight hard to have the right, quote unquote, to kill a child. They just won't do it. So if you're a pro-lifer out there and this is what you want to do, the end goal is the same. Ending abortions. You're not going to be able to do that through legal means, because if you do it right now at the temperature in this country, all you're going to have is bitter, vile, angry people and more division, and it's not going to save any lives. People will do it. But if you can change the hearts and minds of people, if you can change the temperature of the culture will move away from this desire, and it'll become a non-issue in the future.
Do you hear the Democrats lately when they're talking about immigrants, talking about how we don't have enough people? We're not having enough babies?
Oh, boy.
No, I have not heard that.
Man, that pisses me off. Let's take a quick break. We need to know what you think on this issue. Is Donald Trump a Christian? Yes, no, or it doesn't matter. Let me peek here. I'm going to peek. I'm looking. Oh, they're still very close. I think that we have 331 votes in here right now. And I think that the way the breakdown is right now, it's so divided among all three that the lead could change by the end of the show. So get your vote in, get your comment in, and let us know what you think. Kurt says, it doesn't matter. Doesn't mean I wouldn't prefer a Christian in office, but it's more about how policies line up with my Christian faith. God uses good men and evil men. And Erica says, since I'm not a Christian, the religion of my candidate doesn't matter. Trump is better for the country and the economy. What do you think? We'll be right back. I just hope that you find your way.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more rings, two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, It can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I never tried to make you think or let you see one thing for yourself.
Welcome back to the Andy Fry Show. The YouTube live chat poll for today: is Donald Trump a Christian? Yes, no, or it doesn't matter. I'm saying it doesn't matter. That's my vote. Ryan, your thoughts on this? You weren't here yesterday when we talked quite a lot about this.
Yeah, this is a tough question because I think it does matter. So I'm not a doesn't matter. Although I understand why people are voting that, because they're saying it does the person's values line up closely with my own political values? I understand that. But this is a really tough question to ask: what's in somebody's heart? And those who are saying no are, I think, probably pointing to a lot of things that are pretty old, you know, stuff from his past and who doesn't have a past. I'm looking at the last couple months and just hearing him talk about life and, you know, he's still doing it. Everything he does is in Trump's way. So he's never going to do anything. That's what's kind of nice about him. He's pretty genuine. You always know you're going to get Donald Trump, regardless of whatever version of Donald Trump you're going to get. It's always Trump. And I think that he's been talking much more about divine providence and just, you know, after the shot that hit his ear almost killed him, that he's been reflective in his way. I do believe he was a Christian before that. I believe that that has changed it a little bit more, where he's talking about it a little bit more. So I'm going to yes on this poll.
Christine says on our YouTube chat regarding the poll, Trump, yes, he is, because when he got shot in the ear, he said that was by the grace of God that I turned my head when I did. So I think a lot of people are, you're talking about Donald Trump's past and where he has been. Even more recent events make me think that he has worked very hard to keep it kind of not a huge part of the conversation, but when he is asked about it, he talks about God every time the assassination thing comes up.
Yeah, he does. I like to hear that. You know, when you become a Christian, while everything changes at once, a lot of times a lot of your same patterns don't change right away. And a lot of the patterns that you're in, you know, it takes years to overcome certain things after you become a Christian by the grace of God. So I don't expect to see major, like, road to Damascus kind of conversions aren't always the most common things. You know, they do happen. But with him, I don't expect to see that. Just him talking about God is a change to me.
Speaking of, did you hear caller Paul yesterday?
No, I heard you talking about it.
It was not lost on me that it was Paul who called. He's a pastor, Southern Baptist pastor. Go check out the podcast and listen to that or rewatch it. It was a really, really interesting call, first hour of yesterday's show. Brad, what do you think? Is Donald Trump a Christian? Yes, no, or it doesn't matter?
Well, I said on the air yesterday that I don't think that he is. I'm open to the possibility that things, events in life in recent history have changed him on this, that he's come to a saving knowledge of Christ. But the reason I said yesterday is because I've listened to some of the things he's talked about, some of the stuff that he's said about his faith. And it's like, one of the things that really sticks out to me is, like, somebody asked him, like, do you feel the need for forgiveness? And he's like, no, I've never felt the need to ask for forgiveness for anything. And that, to me, is kind of a big, major red flag. Now, that was, what, 4 or 5 years ago? That's when he was running for president the first time.
That was a lot longer.
Oh, that's 4 or 5 years ago.
CNN has first this time. As a 2015 story.
2015.
Donald Trump talked about his Christian faith Saturday, but said he's never sought forgiveness for his sins. Trump, this is CNN, by the way. Trump, who also made headlines for questioning Arizona McCain, Senator McCain's heroism, made the comments about his faith during a question and answer at the Family Leadership Summit in Iowa.
So that was, what, that I going on 10 years ago now. and I'm watching the story of Russell Brand, who 5 months ago wasn't a Christian, and now he is, or at least he's on that path. So could
he's absolutely a Christian.
Yeah.
He's a baptized, practicing Catholic.
Yeah. So you look at how quickly something like that can change. Ryan, you talked about a Road to Damascus experience or something like that. Man, almost getting killed can change somebody's life immediately. And I, near-death experiences, and I can speak to that because I did have a near-death experience of my own. It changes your perspective on life. It opens up the things that matter, the things that don't. It changes all of that. I do see that change in him. I just don't know if he is a Christian. And my default setting is if I don't know, I'm going to assume that you're not, because it's important that I share the gospel with you and not assume that you're saved, rather than not share the gospel with you and assume that you are.
Is Joel Osteen a Christian?
Man, I have my doubts about him.
I don't know. I mean, I hope so. I mean, he's the leader of a big church and a lot of people. Mm-hmm. I pray that he is leading them well. I just don't hear him talk about Jesus that much. And when he does, he doesn't really sort of prepare you for the valley. He's just mountaintops. And it doesn't mean that there are no mountaintops. It just means that there are valleys. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know. He's not somebody that I've listened to enough to really make a informed, wise decision, because I just don't get a lot out of his preaching. So I would be almost like doing it to research rather than to receive anything. And I just have never done that.
The point being that there are people who are professional Christians who we can sit here and say, I don't know. I mean, Joel Osteen might give you the most motivating speech you've ever heard in your life, or sermon, or whatever you want to call it, and it might be exactly what you needed to hear at that time for whatever particular thing you're going through, but that's different than, as a Christian, I'm saying this myself, and I do understand that people listening to this show right now are not all Christians, and I understand that, I respect that, I'm talking about where I'm coming from, but I do not understand, as somebody who I am saying that I'm a Christian, when I say that I'm a Christian, all I'm telling you is that I am broken beyond repair as a sinner. I am rags to the perfection that God expects of us. My sin is ugly. It is repulsive. And I am destined for eternal hell because of my sin. And the thing that makes me a Christian is that I know that God has covered all of that for me through Jesus. At any given time, maybe it's on the volleyball court while I'm as a coach at a Lutheran school, or in volleyball or basketball or something, and I'm out there not, I mean, this is embarrassing to say, but it's absolutely the truth, not acting the way a good Christian should be. If that is your one encounter with me, is Annie a Christian? I mean, who out there right now can look at somebody else and determine what kind of Christian they are? I'm so focused on keeping my head down in reverence to the forgiveness that has been given to me, that the thought of assessing somebody else's relationship with God feels to me to be an inappropriate place to place judgment on them in a way that isn't a prayerful exercise in hoping that they come to Christ. And that I'm saying this in 100% the same way that I would approach Kamala Harris. There should be absolutely zero separation in that same want that I have for Donald Trump to be a good Christian as for Kamala Harris. If you're somebody, I mean, like, really, when you think about this reminds me of who was the comedian who got in trouble for being inappropriate in front of females? This is like
Louis C.K.
You think was it Louis C.K.? Yeah, who I'm thinking of. Okay. That's who I'm thinking of, and I think it was Louis C.K. who did a stand-up bit on abortion and said, like, it's one of two things. You're either murdering babies or it's a bodily function. It's the same as defecation. And he uses a little more colorful language than that. And he's like, you can understand how people who don't look at it like it's a human life would go, why is this a big deal? People do, this is a bodily function that's not a big deal at all. Like, you can understand why people would be pretty casual about it. He goes, but also, if you look at the other side, there are people who truly believe that you are murdering children. He goes, and then you see them holding hands silently on the street, and you think, you should be a little more worked up about this. And he's exactly right. He doesn't, I mean, I think he makes a pretty strong, he advocates strongly for people who believe it to be life and how they react to the situation. I think that in the way that the Bible tells us to, if you are a Christian, that we are to look after our brother and sisters who are in the Christian faith. If Ryan, who I know to be saved and to be a Christian, if Ryan, if you all of a sudden start doing something that goes against your Christian faith, I, as your sister in Christ, have a responsibility to bring you back. If you aren't in the faith, God has a different expectation of us. I can't bring you back into something that you weren't in previously. And I just don't think that when we're sitting out elections because we're measuring our Christian faith up to what we perceive to be somebody else's, there's no way to possibly know. I could think, like, do you know people in your life? I need first, last names, and addresses. Do you know people in your life who are really bold and out there about their Christian faith, but you know stuff about them? You know stuff. You know real people who are really forward with their Christian faith, and you know things about them that make you go, I guarantee you there are people listening right now who probably have that question about me because I'm an imperfect person and I do imperfect things and I'm a sinful, broken person. If that's what they know about me and that's what they think about me, they could shake their finger at me and say, well, she's not a very good Christian. And then they list the fact that I'm a sinner. Well, that's the first part of being a Christian, is the sinner part. So how do you, as somebody who is applying your Christian faith as an excuse, a permission slip to sit out an election where you know that the outcome of your sitting out of that election could contribute to somebody who you know to be supporting things that are dramatically in the face of what God would want? I don't understand how you sit out and feel good about that. How you sit and you feel very, like, you draw out this, like, you're sitting, in my mind, you're, like, sitting cross-legged on the ground, and you draw out this little square, and you're like, well, we're all good right here.
That, yeah, you know what, and that's I've known many people and Christians who there are people on the left who do this too. I'm not saying this is exclusive to Christians who vote or don't vote, but people who draw this sort of ideological box around probably themselves and say,
because you know everything about yourself and you're the only one who knows everything about yourself,
and that's fine. But you say, basically, these are the parameters with which I will not leave. Somebody has to come into this box for me to give my stamp of approval / vote to them. And the left does this too. It's usually far, you know, far-reaching social agenda stuff that they say, this is the box. You got to come in this box. And if you don't, I'm voting for Cornel West or whatever it is. And I think Trump's been a part of this. I have moved from beyond that to realize that that part of the process politically should happen in the primaries. It should happen. I'm not saying abandon your beliefs and your ideology. Stick to it.
And if your primary doesn't produce that type of candidate, you have cultural work to do.
You still should vote. Render unto Caesar, my friends. What is Caesar's? Still, you got to go vote, and you got to pick the person who's the closest to that box that you've created. That's all it is. That's as simple as it gets.
Yeah. It's interesting, too, because when you read the Bible calls Christians to be the salt and the light of the earth. And when you study what salt is a preservative. You have a responsibility as a Christian to try to preserve the culture, try to preserve the moral righteousness of the culture. So that means that you have to vote for the best choice of your two choices and do what you can to keep things where they should be, and move it in that direction.
And triple your efforts culturally to create an environment that produces more biblically sound people.
And you remember 2012, I had a conversation with a good friend of mine who really does not like Donald Trump. And I said, did you vote for Romney? He was like, yeah. And I'm like, did you agree with everything Romney did? And it's ideal that we just had Romney before Trump, because he's the other sort of extreme of Republicans where you go, he is not even close to what I would want out of a president, but I'd rather have him than Barack Obama in 2012. So I voted for Romney. I don't agree with Romney on a lot of things, but yeah. It was the same principle at play.
Let's take a quick break and we'll get to the results when we come back. We do need your thoughts on this important question. Is Donald Trump a Christian? Yes, no, or it doesn't matter. We have 364 votes so far. Let's see how many we can get over the break here. See if we can add a few more. Wibbs said it's not a deal breaker. Ender said doesn't matter. And as I've seen a couple others say, I don't think it matters overall either. People don't look at him to be the ideal Christian, and people aren't really voting on that. I just want to keep following up. Like, what's the ideal Christian? Man, Jesus.
Yeah.
We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Andy Fry Show. Ryan, yesterday you missed my story. Wish you would have been here for it. I told the story of what I did this weekend. Volleyball tournament over the course of the weekend, but then got home Monday being Columbus Day. Since we're all three married to teachers, different teachers, of course, and with Ryan, your kids, my kids, everybody was out of school, right?
Mm-hmm.
Monday?
Yeah.
So I took off.
Columbus Day.
You were traveling with your family. And so Monday, we decided that we were going to switch the bedrooms around in our house so our oldest daughter would have her own room.
We did the same thing this weekend.
Did you really?
Well, sort of. We switched the boys and... Yeah. Basically.
Daunting.
Yeah, daunting.
Awful.
Because it was so messy.
This included taking apart our crib.
Oh, yeah. That's a big moment.
Do you remember doing that?
Well, we had one of those convertible cribs that you just take a piece off here and there, and then it becomes a bed. And yeah, so it didn't happen all at once.
Ours just came down.
All right. How did you feel?
Well, I cried yesterday on the air.
Did you really?
Yes, I did. It was
not
good.
Oh, man, I got to go back and watch that now. Just so I can laugh a little bit, I guess. I don't know. We'll see.
Did your wife have trouble going through those put the baby things away?
I think so.
Your oldest or twins?
Yeah, that's the thing is that when we'd get through a phase with the twins, we were just happy because we like, oh my gosh, we made it. With the younger one, though, we kind of went back through all that. And
I don't know if this is too personal of a question, but when you had your second pregnancy, but your third child, did you know this was going to be it?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, we pretty much knew.
During the pregnancy?
Yeah.
Okay. So you, because I think it's different with Evelyn, who's my third, not my fourth. With Evelyn, we were going through life things and like endings were happening. And I remember saying to my husband, I'm not ready for this to be over, but I'm also not ready to talk about having another child. But I don't want to live all of these moments like this is the last this and this is the last that. And that was with our third. And so I kind of shifted into maybe we'll have a fourth. And then, of course, obviously that ended up happening. I'm 40. I can't have another kid. Like, I can't go through pregnancy again. I can't do it. So it's like, you know, and also when you get to the new, when you get rid of the diapers or whatever, you get rid of the schlepping of as much stuff each time that when you don't have to do formula anymore or whatever, it's like sad if you let it be, but it's also if you can shift your mental focus, it becomes kind of exciting, like the next thing.
I typically don't have those things, but I will tell you this, my 7-year-old, he's going to be our last that we know of anyway, unless God has other plans. We were theme parking this weekend, and we went to California, so we went to Universal out there, and then we went to Legoland and Knott's Berry Farm. We didn't do Disney.
You didn't do Disney?
No, we didn't.
Never been to Disney.
I haven't either. We just did the other ones. And I realized as we were walking around those parks, he's 7 years old. He's still grabbing my hand.
Oh, I have a picture of Charlie grabbing my hand at about that age. I took a picture. I'm like, this will end.
Yeah.
I make him hold my hand every once in a while. And he stands when he's 14 and a half. When he stands and holds my hand, he doesn't hold it. He lets me hold his hand. There's no reciprocation.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, love your mother. And then he'll kind of squeeze it and he'll look at me. And the one thing that my son doesn't, when I hug him, he will not end the hug. But I think his dad told him that. He's like, hug until she lets go.
At that age, my oldest, Sinjin, well, Sonny too, but Sinjin specifically, I told him, you know, there's going to be a day where you don't want to hold your dad's hand anymore. And he's like, oh yeah? Just to prove me wrong, he still will in public every now and then. And then he'll look at me and be like, what do you think now? What, you think you were right? Because you're clearly not.
That's a huge win.
Yeah. So, like, well, I guess I'll just take it. I'll take the loss.
Guess I'm the real loser here. Right. Oh, it was very difficult. I had them take a picture in front of the crib, and then I had, like, no makeup on, long weekend, just threw the ponytail up, and I was like, okay, I'm going to be in this. I'm glad I took the photo. But I shared that yesterday, and it was... the thing about it was that shocked me so much is that I hadn't, until that day, thought about having to take the crib down to do all this moving thing, but... when they were all with me and my husband was like, so how are we going to do this? And I was talking about, we need to do this. And then when I got to the point where we need to take the crib down, I couldn't even say the words. I was still laying in my bed and I like put the sheets over my head and was like, I'm just going to cry. I'm just going to let it out.
You're just going to go watch Cribs all night.
It's the same thing.
Same thing.
Sounds like a horror movie. Cribs.
Tell another crying story. You got like a minute.
No, we got to do the poll.
Oh, okay.
YouTube live chat poll. Ethan, you got the results for us?
Here we go. 391 votes. Is Donald Trump a Christian? 25% say no. 35% say it doesn't matter. And winning today's poll, 40% saying yes.
Man,
Donald Trump
really
is
close.
A Christian.
40% say yes and 35% say it doesn't matter. It's changing a little bit right now because votes are still coming in.
Now it's 41%.
Only 25. Yes. One in four say that no, he's not a Christian.
Yeah, I could have seen this poll going any number of directions. So the thing that surprises me is that, I don't know, this question does matter to me. So people saying it doesn't matter, I guess what they're saying is...
I'm one of them.
Yeah, that I'm going to vote for somebody based on their policies. I get that.
Yeah.
I get that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm happy to see that 40% think he is, though, as well. I think it's an interesting question. I think it's one that he's tried to play very specifically, politically, and he's left it that way for this campaign. If Donald Trump should win his second term on November 5th, we are going to see a Donald Trump we haven't seen before as president because there's no new election around the corner.
Yeah, unfettered.
It will be very interesting to see how that happens. Since we talked about it all day, if you're a praying person, don't forget to pray for your country. Mark Reardon with the Brett Baer interview coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.